the book of Ephesians is a lot about unity. Paul is talking to the Ephesian church, and at first you might think, you know, that this church probably is not united at all. But this church is actually a very strong church. And so Paul actually wrote this letter along with different letters to a strong church to be a blueprint for all the other churches to show what unity should be like. And so when I think about unity, I think about how much people crave unity. You know, think about the World Cup, or think about sports teams or the Olympics, and we just get really fired up. You know, we get fired up about America or Brazil or whatever country you're from. You know, Brittany loves sports. Sean loves sports. You can't tell them anything about the Mets or about Kobe Bryant. Right? They feel united with these people.
That's right.
And people join sororities and fraternities in an effort to try to feel united with other people. People join different clubs on campus, you know, like the math clubs and Pokemon clubs and different strange clubs. All these to try to accomplish one thing. And that one thing is to feel connected with others. And so as God's church, we have the blessing of also feeling united with people that we normally wouldn't feel united to. And for a reason that is so much deeper than all the rest. You know, I know Rob did a great lesson on Sunday about unity, but today we're going to take it a step further. You know, it's different to be united as a whole church, but it's also a little bit different to be united as a whole, right? And so today we're going to look at what it looks like to be united with one another. Okay, so let's start in Ephesians. We're going to go from 1 to 6 first. And it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the union of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so it continues in verse 14, then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking to the love, you will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting unit, grows and builds itself up in love as each part of us works. And you know, I'm sure we've heard this all before, right? But this is what God called us to be. He called us to be one body, being one church, one Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have one hope. We are all going to heaven. We have one Lord, Jesus, with one baptism and one God. So we're not just a Pokemon club or the athletes. No, we're the body of Christ. We are his church. We're important, you know? And we have different struggles, the same struggles as women that are a little bit different than what the men do. You know, we are all, most of us are in college, but most of us also probably want to get married one day, right? Most of us probably don't know when that's going to happen, except we know, right? And most of us are probably still trying to figure out how to juggle life and work and school and church and family and all these different things. We're trying to figure out how to keep our life together. But overall, we're trying to figure out how do we stay spiritual while moving home. And so these specific struggles are different than what the world experiences. You know, while the world is thinking about how can I save money so I can go out on Friday and buy alcohol, we're thinking, how can I save money to go to ICLC? You know, they're thinking, you know, who's going to be the designated driver because their nights are full of drunkenness and they're literally planning to lose their consciousness. But where are Fridays having fun with Fear Factor, Manhunt, Ice Cream Social, and we don't need drugs to have fun, and we like to remember the times we have to. And so these are just a few examples of how we're different. But that's not to include that we serve the poor, that we have to strive for absolute purity every day, that we give our money to charity and to people in other countries for hope. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like I don't belong in this world. I speak to my coworkers, I speak to my classmates, and I feel kind of like a stick in the mud. I'm like, this is what excites you guys. This is weird, you know? But that's how you should feel too. You should feel like I don't quite belong with these people. But instead, we belong as a family together. There's a stronger connection here, together. And so we may be able to relate in some way to our family, and our coworkers, and our friends, but that should be nothing compared to the relationships we have here. And so without a doubt, I know we can see the love that we have for each other here. You know, there's no reason, honestly, that we would sit with each other 3 to 4 times a week if we didn't care about each other to some extent. You know, there's Bible talk and midweek and Devo and church. And honestly, if you were feeling some type of way, you complain. Why don't you meet these people 4 times out of 7 days a week? You know? But we enjoy being together. This is something that we love doing. I think about all of the past stuff we do. I love how we band together for the encouragement or to encourage these brothers, right? We stress out so much to make sure they got food and the napkins are folded right. And you know, we just go to, you know, to encourage them. We band together. I love grooming at the different retreats and conferences and figuring out who's a touchy sleeper and who kicks and who snores. These are boundaries that we like to figure out. Man, you guys know those. Yeah. And so we know how to have fun. And if you're visiting with us today, I hope you've seen some of the love that we have in this room and the fun that we have. And I hope you feel that too. But I think that's something that we can work on. Getting to the point where if we see that someone is struggling, or if someone's having a bad day, one part of the body needs help, the other part of the body helps out, you know? Yes. And I think that if one part of the body mourns, everyone else mourns as well. And if one part of the body rejoices, we can all rejoice as well. And so why is this important? Well, in verse 14, it says that because if you don't, we'll be like infants tossed back and forth in the waves. And so think about this illustration. What's an infant? You know, they're defenseless. They're unable to protect themselves. They need shelter. You wouldn't just throw an infant into water, right? They'll drown. You know, and I can think about LDI, and I have an image really clearly in my head of me drowning at LDI. I was in the water. It was like this deep, and then a wave just toppled me over. And I felt myself, like, you feel the water just sucking you out. So I was like, oh, snap, like, I'm going out. And then it pushed me back, and I felt the sand and everything. I was, like, gripping the sand. And I was sweeping back up. I felt the current sweeping, and I was back out. And so I felt that the sand was under my feet. Like, I knew I could stand, but the current kept tossing me back and forth. And I was, my eyes open. As everyone was playing, I'm like, this designed discipleship to help us grow and mature together so that each part does its work and grow together in love.
Amen.
And so that's why it's important to stay unified. You know, but we need to kind of know if we need to be unified, what's being disunited look like.
Right.
Thank you. How can we practically do that? Well, I think honestly takes us pushing past our comfort zones. And so let's read in verse 17 to verse 24. We're going to look at what does a worldly relationship look like? So it says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of your thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and therefore believe. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the actions of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Worldly relationships are shallow. It doesn't take long for us to catch them, right? They're insensitive. This is the futility of your thinking. Futile means it's incapable of producing anything useful or beneficial. There's just nothing that can be good to come out of it. They're impure, they're greedy, they're slanderous. The Bible doesn't need to tell you this because you see it in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And so this is what worldly relationships look like, and these are the relationships that we once were in.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember middle school? Just like I'll tell you a story. So in my middle school, in the first week, there were like tables at lunchtime. And so where you sat determined where you were on the social hierarchy scale. Like there was like the cool kids and then there were the weirdos, right? And if you couldn't intermingle, so you had to be very strategic in the first few like lunch periods who you sit with. Because that's what people will assume. There were people that ate from the trash that sat in the weirdo table. There was a girl that ate like cans of tuna and that looked like a cat. It was creepy, you know? And so you didn't want to be associated with the difference, you know? Because it was just, that's not, you don't intermingle. And so that was my middle school. And then in high school, it was a combination of three middle schools all together. And so the same thing happened. At high school, you kind of just look around and you're like, okay, who are the people I hung out with in middle school? You know? And then you just sat at the table and that was, of course, high school. Amen, that we're no longer in high school. But if we're not careful, we can go into the same track in our relationship. We can naturally be this way. You know, I'm the one that sits in the same spot all semester and I get mad if someone sits in my same spot. You know, but we can be like that. We get so used to being around the same people or hanging out with the same people that we don't go and try to seek new relationships with others. And it's okay to have best friends. I'm not saying it's not okay. But we should feel like there's every sister in here we can go to and talk about our life with.
Yes.
That's what we're striving for.
Yeah.
And so we're here for each other. And though we may not be extremely close to everyone in this room, we should feel comfortable sharing our lives with one another.
Yeah.
And so tonight I'm going to challenge us all, and I'm talking about myself too, that as we hear the word of God, we don't think about the friendships we already have, but we think about the potential friendships that we have yet to form. We don't think about a group of people we hang out with all the time, but that sister you haven't spoken to in a little bit. Tonight I want to challenge us all to get us out of our comfort zone so that we can build a sisterhood, a real sisterhood that's out of this world.
Yeah.
And so for the sake of having a title, let's just call this the Unbreakable Sisterhood. That's what I'm going to call it. Alright? So we're going to read from verse 25 to 29. And it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods, the truth to your neighbor, for we are all men under one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you so angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful when building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We're going to focus in on this section here. And it says in verse 25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbors, for we are all married. So we're going to talk about keeping it real, okay? And I think sometimes we're afraid to do that, to be very honest. I think we're afraid to keep it real in our emotions, of keeping it real and being vulnerable. And that can really hinder us. How can we expect someone to help us if we're not being vulnerable? You know, we go into midweek and how are you? I'm fine. I'm good. And really, at home, you're crying your eyes out. You're feeling all types of ways. You feel lonely. But you come into midweek and you're not willing to tell anyone your feelings or thoughts. You know, we have to be honest by what we feel to each other. I feel like I do this a lot. I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm okay. Because I feel like my feelings are burdened. But we're all called to help others. We're not a burden to anyone. And if honestly, if you're talking to someone and you feel like you're burdening them, it reflects something in your heart. But if they're making it seem like you're burdening them, that's something of them. It's not something of you. And so when was the last time you were open about your life to someone you don't normally speak to? When is that? Has it gone deeper than the friendship and the shallow conversations about school or class or whatever? When did we go about, how are we doing spiritually? How was your quiet times? What are you wrestling with God? Real questions that will dig at our hearts. Tonight, in the fellowship, how can you be intentional about being open to sisters about your life? Because we're called to be vulnerable with one another. But also, we're called to be vulnerable with one another, but we also shouldn't be afraid to speak the truth we love. And I feel like this is a touchy subject, because sometimes we can speak the truth, but then we're like, yeah, love just hurts, you know? Love hurts. But that's not necessarily true. I think we should call each other out in a loving way, but also realize that people will make mistakes too, and that we don't have to be faultless in an area to try to help someone else in the world. We need to tell our sisters when they're making wise decisions. We need to tell them, hey, the way you're spending your time, the way you're spending your money, the way that you're doing this, it's not really like Jesus. We should do this because we say we love each other, don't we? We hang out with each other all the time. We spend so much time together. Some of us live together. But if we don't call these things out, bring them to the light, we don't actually love each other. We're just playing the part. We're just friends, worldly friends. And so, under your watch, you shouldn't allow a sister to be dressed inappropriately, speak inappropriately, make unwise decisions like hanging out with God's alone, being up too late, doing things that are stumbling block. These things should not happen under our watch.
Right.
But it's not because we're like little cops around here, but it's because we care. We care. We want everyone to go to heaven. We have one hope, and that's heaven. And we want to bring all of us around. Look around. You know, we want all of us to go to heaven together. We don't want to, in 20 years, there's only six of us left.
Yeah.
But that's what happens if we don't talk about the things that are really bothering us and then talk about the things that are hindering someone in their faith. Do you care? Do you care? Jesus protected his disciples. We have to protect each other. And so in verse 36, we're going to continue on. I can talk about that for a long time. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. And so, like we said about being vulnerable with ourselves, speaking the truth in love, sometimes we can really get under each other's skin, right? But we also need to learn that we need to forgive and move on.
Yeah.
Right? And as disciples, as women, we are bound to do something that hurts someone. Like, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
And the Bible isn't telling us, don't get angry. It's saying, don't stay angry.
Yeah.
And so we need to have this conviction of, I will not let the sun go down. And you know, and then I wait one week, Devo. I'll talk to the church, and then next week he comes by, and so, and then I'm just like, I'm just gonna talk to the sister. You know, there was a situation where I was buying a car, and I thought it was a great deal. I told my dad, I was like, you know what, Dad, I'm gonna buy a car for $1,000. He was like, I don't know if that's a good idea, so I was like, I think it's a great idea. She's a sister in the church. I'm gonna buy this car. It's a good car. It's accurate. I mean, there's a lot of miles on it, Dad, but it's a great car. And so we bought the car. I convinced him. And, you know, within, like, I guess 2 weeks, things are I was like, oh my gosh. And then it turns out, like, the right door doesn't lock. You have, like, from the outside, you have to, like, walk. Like, this boots is, like, really twisting, lock the door. And then the car stopped working. And I was mad. Like, I was raging. I was like, she was a sister in Christ. We're done with this taking relationship. Before you became a disciple, We can have this thought that if no one serves me, if I don't take care of myself, rather, then no one else will take care of me. I have to take care of myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, then no one else will, and then I'll be up in the dumps, right?
Right.
But you can think about this a lot. If I serve other people, everyone else is set to serve others, and I will be taking care of myself. Because not only am I giving others, but 10 people are giving to me. Everyone's thinking about each other. That's what God wants from us. We have this individualistic mindset. And I think a lot of it is because of the society we live in. But that's not what we're meant for. We're meant to help each other. And so how can we really help each other? Not just giving each other rides, which is great, but do we pray for each other? Do we fast for each other? You know, sharing faith together is something that really connects one another. You get to kind of see where someone's at by having shared their faith. You know, because there have been times where I'm like, hey, you want to the Bible talk? And so the person's like, why are you so timid? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, and then it just turns into a deep conversation until you see the next person that you have to share with. Do you pray deeply with someone you just don't know well? Or do you serve food for someone who's sick? You know, if someone says that, hey, I'm not feeling well, who's going out there to help encourage them? Who's giving them the phone call? You know, there's people here that are back at home. Who's checking up on them?
Yeah.
Seeing how they are, if they're okay. These people can't just forget about them. There's still people in their lives still struggling. Not struggling, but you know, they're going through the struggles with us. You know, we all struggle at something, you know, but like we need to encourage one another daily. And so we need to be women that notice if someone's consistently missing you or if they're having a bad day. We must be women that are intent on serving each other, but we also have to be women that are willing to get into the grind with one another. You know, I know a story where Sean actually helped me out a lot. I was feeling all types of ways. I was kind of going crazy last week at NCA camp. I was like, I'm a loner, I'm by myself, there's like nothing. I just was feeling really, really, really depressed and alone and dark. I didn't know why. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. And I was like, hey, man. I was like, I'm doing well, blah, 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 blah. But she pulled me over. She was like, no, what's going on with you? And I was like, I was a little resistant at first, to be very honest. But then she just kept pushing. And so my heart, like, she wanted me to pray. And I was like, I'm not praying. I'm going to walk away, actually. And I walked away from her. She's a little disrespectful. But I prayed after, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I was encouraged that she fought for me, you know? And we have to fight for one another.
Yeah.
We have to fight when someone is resistant. So, sometimes we just go there, we're prideful, we need help. But when you want someone to fight for you, if you're going wild in your mind, when you want someone to fight for you?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing to fight for others if we want to fight for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so how can we help each other with our needs? Well, maybe come to meet early or Devo. Fellowship with one another. Actually, take the time to talk to people. How about you ask someone specifically, how can you serve? How can you help them? Someone says that their house is dirty. I can clean it, you know? Someone says they arrive. I can help them. Someone's feeling ill. I can bring you soup. Arrive on campus early enough to share faith with people, not just when Bible talk. It's encouraging when there's other people with you to share your faith.
Yeah.
Not when you're by yourself and now there's a huge group of people you know, like it's different when you're with people.
Yeah.
Pray or call someone who's not feeling, who's feeling down. Someone who couldn't come to the meeting of the body today because they were sick. They still want that encouragement.
Yeah.
And so in what ways do you think you can help your sister? How can you use your gifts to help your fellow sister? And so we're going to kind of wrap it up here in verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Honestly, I feel the most compelled to share this work. And I think it's because we hear so much of this work, right? We can look at ads and Facebook posts and all these different things about what women are, what women should be, what our body should be, what our hair should be like, what all these different things of what we should. lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Think about such things. And so, I'm going to be honest. I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to kind of in general, I mean, that this is an area that can be important. Many times I have, and I've also heard other people say, they call each other, stupid or idiots or I hate you, but these are playful things, you know? You can say like, oh man, you're so stupid. As like slang or lingo, like, oh, this is okay. We're just playing around, we're joking. But is it beneficial? If Jesus was right next to you, would a non-disciple think you're a Christian by saying that? If it isn't building someone else up, you shouldn't say it. And so I think this is when the worldliness can really step into our culture is when we let ourselves say these things and say that we're just joking. Because there are over 170,000 words in the English dictionary. We have so many other words we can say than words that are derogatory. Because your sister is also hearing that everywhere else. They don't need to hear it from you. Really strive to encourage. With our speech goes a long way. I think Marie's skin is beautiful.
Yes!
The employer that don't want us to get all the work right, so the people that have that families. You can fight for the lost souls at the gas stations, the supermarkets, the people on campus, the people on work. We can fight for the dysfunctional families, the orphans, there's so many people, right? There's so many people. One baptism, because we're fighting for one God, and our God will win. Amen?
Amen.